Now, if you cast your mind back to early 2014, you might recall news that a group of American astronomers were working with a telescope called BICEP to study the sky, and they were claiming they were finding remnants of gravitational waves from the Big Bang. And to much fanfare, they published their findings reporting the discovery of these ripples. Unfortunately, subsequent tests showed that what they were actually seeing was down to space dust. But their search continues, though, because they're trying to find and use these waves to probe what happened during the earliest moments in the history of the universe following the Big Bang. This is a period that's called inflation. But it's further back in time than traditional telescopes can see, which is why we need gravity waves to probe in there. Greg Jackson.
If you're anything like me and love a bit of boogieing, you might be dancing around or jiggling around in your seat. And you know what? If you are, you're making gravitational waves. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Undetectably small, but nevertheless, you're creating gravitational waves, you know.
Yeah, David Marsh is right there. They're so small we can't even detect them. It's only the ripples from massive events that we can pick up on, like two black holes colliding. But what about the biggest event in the history of the universe? The Big Bang.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the inflation theory, the sort of bang behind the Big Bang, this would send gravitational waves rippling throughout the universe.
But how would John Kaufman look 13.8 billion years ago into the past? Well, with something called the CMB, the Cosmic Microwave Background. This is a faint glow of light that fills the universe with nearly uniform intensity. It's the residual heat of creation, the afterglow of the Big Bang, streaming through space these last 13.8 billion years, much like the heat from a sun-warmed rock, re-radiating that heat at night. Notice, though, how I say nearly uniform intensity. David Marsh again.
When we look at the sky at microwave wavelengths, we would see the cosmic microwave background, and it would seem almost having the same temperature everywhere. So we can compute the temperature. It's 2.7 Kelvin. What is it? Minus 271 degrees.
Pretty cold, then.
Cold, yeah. And then you can compute it, you can first, second, third, fourth, and then at the fifth digit, you see that it starts to vary. So at that level of temperature, it starts to fluctuate.
Oh, temperature fluctuations only after the fifth decimal place. That's absolutely bonkers. But these tiny changes in residual heat are critical to the study of the universe because it's the fossil imprint of those Big Bang light particles tell us about another fluctuation, the ripples that gravitational waves made in the fabric of space-time. But members of the BICEP team, like John Kaufman, have to go to great lengths to detect them, like the South Pole. What you can hear is a video of John and colleagues heading out on a skidoo to the telescope. They're wearing so much clothing that not a bit of flesh is visible, despite it being a beautiful blue-skied and sunny day.
It can be grueling, but what our telescope does is we look for the temperature of the cosmic microwave background, the E-mode polarization, and the B-mode polarization.
And so this polarization you're looking for, what's that?
How light is an electromagnetic radiation, it means that there's an oscillating electromagnetic field, and if it has a preferred direction that it likes to oscillate, if you imagine you hold a string and you whip your hand up and down, you're creating a wave on this string that's polarized in one direction, the up and down direction. If you whip your hand left and right, you'll create a polarized wave left and right. It just means that there is a preferential axis to the wave that you've generated.
And that's what you detected.
Right. Only gravitational waves can create B-mode polarization at this cosmic microwave background time. And it became clear that we were seeing something. And none of us believed it. We all expected it was some sort of systematic contamination. And so we set about for a long time to just try to convince ourselves that what we were seeing wasn't real. All sorts of crazy ideas of what this could be, including one of my favorites, which is the communication satellite, might have been interfering with our telescope. So we ruled that out. finally, everything was ruled out. It looked like this must be on the sky. And then, of course, we published, and articles started popping up, you know, New York Times, then, you know, NPR, then, you know, everything, all sorts of news sources. And then things got very interesting.
And do you know why it got interesting? Because of something seemingly very uninteresting. Dust. Yep, you heard me right. Dust. Things like comets and supernovae all leave dust in their wake, and this dust can imitate the light polarization sign that John is looking for. But when another satellite called Planck came along, it suggested that it's not really quite that simple. John and the BICEP team continue to look for this light polarization and hints of gravitational waves down at the South Pole. But now the LIGO team have found them. Should John just give up the ghost now that it's no longer a ghost?
So these gravitational waves, the one that experiments like BICEP are looking for, are pretty significant because they would be evidence for the theory of inflation. And the theory of inflation is one of the most important theories that I think humankind has ever developed, in the sense that it is the sort of why are we here? And inflation answers that. And so while there is a significant amount of evidence for it, the smoking gun of this has not been detected, and that is these gravitational waves.
It's big stuff, because that inflation is how the universe grew rapidly from its origin as a tiny, tiny point to a much bigger entity in just fractions of a second after the Big Bang. You heard there John Kaufman from the University of California, San Diego, and before him, David Marsh from Cambridge University.